So that's the haqq of ma'asiyat, that you leave it at once and you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. As Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, around 94-95, he became a little bit seriously ill. Perhaps he was in a state of unconsciousness for a month or maybe more than a month. So some of the khadims and all that way around, once he regained consciousness, so they wanted to see now what is the state of the memory. Is the memory still the same as it was when he was conscious, or has the memory changed? So they asked him some odd masala that doesn't normally appear in the kitab, as though they were discussing amongst themselves, but audibly. This masala, you know, that a person is supposed to be doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar under all situations, whatever the situation, but he must do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, even if it is that he is in the state of Ma'asiyat, then too he must do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. So they have reached here, so Mufti had some other style to talk to these people that are close. Not like that, it's like this. This masala appears in the library in Saharanpur, which is a kitab that is still in the Mukhtutat. Still, what do you say in English? Manuscript. Still in the manuscript and hasn't yet been printed. So it says like this, that Nahi and Munkar is not maaf at any situation. Even if a person is in zina, in that state also, you must tell the zaniya that, see, close your eyes. So to the extent that he could make Nahi and Munkar, he must do it. That one, you would have left this out as well, but now it would seem that he is not prepared to leave this out. That he must close his eyes and tell her to close the eyes, at least that amount of at least to that extent he will refrain from that ma'asiyat. Okay. So one is in the state of ma'asiyat, and what are you supposed to be doing, right? To rectify, to ask Allah's forgiveness. And really, this is why we are here, to recognize our mistakes and ask Allah's forgiveness, not to identify other people's weaknesses. And I would say, even in passing, don't even talk about other people's weaknesses. What happens otherwise? If we get into the routine, even for good reasons, or maybe valid reasons, to speak about someone, what will happen? Then in time, we become a little bit complacent of ourselves, and we will become over-concerned of the next person. The second problem would be, in the midst of our namaz or zikr, the thoughts will spin in the mind, will float in the mind. So rather, we know that we have to do it, so let's do it, but don't even talk about it. Not to someone, not to yourself, just leave it. Whatever arrangement has to be done, let's do the arrangement and carry on. It was a mess up, someone messed it up, they really, really, really did it wrong. But now, you're not even mentioning it, just correct it and carry on. Don't even talk about it. Unless, you know, it's a, you desperately need to mention it. It's a different thing. Otherwise, just leave it and just carry on. So what will happen is, you don't feel too confident of yourself. And number two, those thoughts will not spin in your mind. Otherwise, you're human and your mind is like that. Any thought and every thought, everything that you come across, and the thing goes down the mind. Our Buzuan has been said that this mind was for the zikrullah, for the love of Allah Ta'ala. The thoughts of his love, thoughts of his gratitude, of his appreciation. It wasn't for filling up every type of muck, filth, and dirt. So if we're not going to be cautious as to what we are taking in, then the heart and the mind will be filled up with this type of muck, filth, and rubbish. See? But otherwise, just kept it aside, let's do our work. I was explaining Mawlana 2 days ago, at time of iftar, that Azizji rahmatullahi towards the end of his life, he mentioned a couple of good times. He says, nowadays, after ek alim, dusre alim se bhi zyada na mile. An alim also should not be meeting with an alim. I should think at that time, why is he saying that he shouldn't be meeting too much? Then when you come into contact and you come across people, then you realize the beauty and the depth of what they were saying. So what happens is now, with the passage of time, people's thinking goes different, the behavior is different, they get into a marital life, they got in-laws, they got their musallis, they got their friends. So the whole thinking pattern changes. And when the thinking pattern changes, then they will look for ways to support their thoughts. I got a certain thought, so I will have to look for from the Quran and the Hadith to support what I'm doing. And what you are thinking of may not be right, or may not be the better thing. Maybe it is at the level of permissibility, but it is not the better thing to do. Now you are thinking on that line, now you're looking for evidence to support that type of living. Now, you will get a talk of Hazaji Rahmatullahi, for example, that he speaks about in clothing and luxuries, he speaks about 4 levels. He'll say, Zarurat, right? And then he'll say, Asayish. Asayish means it may not be a need, but for comfort. Right? Number 3, Zenit. And number 4, he will say, after Zenit, he will talk about, what do you say for show, Urdu? No, to show off. Numaisha. Right? So, one is Zarurat, one is Asayish, one is Zenit, and one is Numaish. So, up till the level of Zenit, you say it's permissible, someone is doing it. Now, Hazrat is speaking, why is speaking? It's a certain class of people that he's speaking to. And he wishes to bring them close to Deen. Right? When he wishes to bring them closer to Deen, then he will give them the assurance, alright, what you're doing is permissible. But now, he's saying that so that he keeps them connected to Buzurganadin and Ulama-i Kiram. So they don't feel everything is haram in Deen. They don't think that Deen is very difficult. Right? So he needs to get this class of people. Right? If you're going to give them that impression that this is haram, that is not permissible, that is not too good, then they'll feel that Deen is too hard. So they won't come closer. But he has to give them this light one, so that's permissible, as long as you're not showing off. As long as you're not trying to belittle anybody, and trying to express your superiority over others, right? So once you got them at that level, then they're keeping in contact with Ulama-i Quram, and they're coming closer and closer every day. But now, if you use that as a precedent, now to go for zenith, etc., you know, beauty, etc., that is the right thing. Hazrat spoke about it. So his whole life, he'll spend his life just to run towards luxury, beauty. One level to the other level, carry on. So Hazrat spoke about it. It's how the mind will go. So he's mentioned it for a different reason, and you are taking it in a different. So it was meant for a different class of people, and you are using it for yourself. So there must be some understanding. See, in Jamaat circles in the old, they should be very careful. Now, because the Jamaat is a work that is related to all the public, whether wealthy, poor, middle class, all classes, right? when it's related to all of them, so now they have to be quite particular how they group a jamaat. Because sometimes it can be, they got a multi-billionaire in the jamaat, and you got another person that is hand-to-mouth, he's earning 7,000-8,000 rand, that's his monthly budget, right? And he's a multi-billionaire. He's used to having about 20 khadims around him, because he's so wealthy. This person here, let alone having any khadim, he has to make khidmat to others for him to survive. So now, these two people have been paired. I mean, they paired together in one jamaat. Now they're speaking over the 6 points, and they're speaking on the line of ikram, for example. So now that wealthy person got affected, you know, he must make ikram. So now every day he's feeding jamaat with 10 varieties. He's used to eating 50 varieties every day, and he's got 10 varieties. So now this person here says, hey, jamaat is so much of barakat. So you come in, see, everything is thrown in, right? Where, you know, I would hardly get a nice meal once in a week. Now every day I'm chucked in, you know, so much of barakat. Now this person will go home, he says, you've been a waste of time. Jamaat is better. See, he won't appreciate his wife, and he'll get spoiled. So now for that person, where he was eating 100 varieties, he brought himself to 10, it was his Islam. For this person here, he was eating once in 2 days or once in a week, he was eating a good meal, right? Now he's got himself used to eating a good meal every day. So now, is it going to be for his reformation or to his detriment? So now, those that are pairing the jamaat, in the old days, they should be very cautious right now. How do we group this jamaat? How do we work them out? So that it must be beneficial for this person, it must be beneficial for that person. What is being fed is halal. You don't want to doubt that what was fed is haram. But that same thing is going to be beneficial for one, and the next person is not going to be beneficial. So now those that are planning the jamaat, they must think now, right, how we are planning this jamaat here. That when they come back, they must be even more appreciative. In the 60s, so he came to one of the Gujarat madrasas, right? So they had just installed a cool water. So Hazrat Qari Sahib wasn't happy about it. He said, see the students that you got from Bihar, all these places, poor places, right? And now you make them used to this type of comforts, right? When they have completed their formal studies, they have to go and serve in their own areas, right? Right? Now, will they look forward to go and serve in their own areas when they have become used to this type of comforts? See his sight, his understanding. You know, they got used to these things here. They don't want to go back there and work there. Whereas their people are more needy of ulama, of guidance, etc., than the people here. Here, it's alright, they're well to do. Yeah, they don't have the stuff, and they need that guidance. You brought these people here, you made them addicted to all these type of comforts and luxuries. Now they're reluctant to go back and work in their own areas. Now, have you done a service for them or a disservice for them? So some type of understanding must be in this work here. So we're talking of ma'asiyat, right? And one is now, what is a ma'asiyat? And one is, what can lead to a ma'asiyat? So an alim, he has to think about it, you know, how careful he must be. In our home in Qatar, so one of the ladies, so eat day, so they offered some mitais and all that to the bhangan. Bhangan is the one that comes to clean the toilet. So that woman, she just blankly refused, no, I can't take this. So why? So she pointed to the tongue, said, see, this thing gets spoiled. This thing is spoiled, then my whole life will be in a mess. Because then I'll demand for these things here. When I demand for this thing and I can't afford it, then I'll become a problem for myself and the folks around me, I'll be a problem. So I rather don't take these things here and become addicted to these things. So the thing may be permissible in itself, but then look at the disastrous effects, right? By the same token, look at everything, or look at those things that are multi-purpose. It's good in it, and there is some harm in it. there is good in it, but there is harm in it as well. Right? Look at a lot of things. Now, in this day, for example, technology, right? We will not deny that there is good in it. But then, when we look at the harm, does the harm outweigh the good, or does the good outweigh the harm? Right? People that are glued to it now, how much of the time goes in this thing? At the end of the day, from all that which they peruse through and they come across, did they gain anything, or it was just nothing? So I was explaining, let's see. لِقَاوُ النَّاسِ لَا يَخْلُوْ أَنْ قِيلٍ وَقَالٍ. I meet up with people, so it's just about some panchat, or let's catch up with the latest panchat. What's happening now? What's happening there? What's happening here? At the end of the day, if you take an account, you know, you take how you, in a business, you take an account of what's the day's business, right? When you take that account, you find, I didn't find anything. So he says, if you need to meet, you meet for two reasons. Either لِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ or لِإِصْلَاحِ حَالٍ. What? You meet the person either to acquire something, some ilm, right? I don't have the understanding, right? So I need to have the understanding. Some ilm. Some verse of the Quran Sharif, and I don't have a clear understanding of that verse of the Quran Sharif. Can you give me أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفٍ. What does it mean? أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفٍ, right? So what does it exactly mean? We have the understanding. So now, this person knows some tafsir, etc. Let me ask him. But Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't know exactly what was the meaning of takhawuf. So he asked from the member. So one person from Bani Tamim or Tim, he says, no, this is mean lugatina. This is something that is used by us. Takhawuf means that Allah Ta'ala punished the person very gradually. Allah takhawuf. He is destroyed, he is eliminated, but very, very gradually is gone. So very, very gradual in stages, slowly, slowly, and Rabbah wipes him out. Yeah. So that's called tahawuf. Or ya'khudhahum ala tahawuf. You can finish up like that. Yeah. One is the stick of Allah Ta'ala comes straight and distracts you. Finish. And one is that it comes gradually. Today, now you're earning so much, so your wealth is deteriorating. Then slowly your health is deteriorating. Then your friends are shrinking. Then your moods are all coming erratic, right? You see, then you had a heart attack, right? Now one thing after another, everything is just falling, everything is just collapsing. Everything is breaking apart. Can you see that? Slowly, like very, very, very graceful, very gradual way, whatever takes away. So you are acquiring ilm for what? You're meeting up only for them, not for any other sideshow. And that the talab ilmin, provided that you're going for that ilm, it mustn't be now for one piece of ilm, you're giving 40 days. That ilm can be, if it can be acquired in 1 minute, then let it be till 1 minute and then move away, finished. But now, you, for a little bit of ilm, then you're having a party and a braai and what's there and what's not there. Everything is coming in. So, is there any good in that? That's why Hazrat Mawlana Sabah used to say, he says that la ya'ni, in many situations, it borders with sin. See, the Quran is saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِدُونَ. Things that don't concern you, whether it's talk, whether it's activity, but it doesn't concern you, so you left it. It doesn't concern you. If you see now, I'm doing this, I'm looking at this, I'm reading this, does it concern you? So the shan of the Muslim is that he doesn't get himself entangled in this. Because that layani sometimes, or many a times, it borders with sin. He gave an example, right? He says, one buzurg was not feeling too well, right? So another buzurg came to meet him. I heard you're not feeling too well, so I came to make your iyadat. for my respects if I can do any khidmat. So apparently at that time that buzurg wasn't around. Well, he must have been resting, right? One of the two. So the wife answered, he isn't feeling well. So he asked, alright, can I help? What is the sickness? I said, no, you've got some boil or something, right? Whatever. So now he asked, thereafter, where does he have that boil, you see? Now the wife just went silent. He understood that that boil was in a very awkward place. And it wasn't right for me to ask. Because what am I going to do if I hear that he got a boil in a certain spot? How am I going to help the person? I didn't need to ask this question yet. I should have thought that he must have got that boil in a very awkward place and is not to reveal this thing yet, right? Not to be revealed. Now, I am asking and it caused that person some taklif. And izaul mu'min, is it permissible or not permissible? See? So see this love. Love will go in, you know? And where it can lead you. It can lead you to sin. It can lead you to wrong. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. We say we're going for this, and in the process, so many other things are coming up. See? So the better is by جِسْ قَدَرْ kaam usi qadar mulaqat. We have to meet, we have got this amount of work, so let's meet to that point, let's not take it beyond that point. We need to meet at that point, to that point. Let's meet. We'll be cheered up, talk nicely, happily, and then happily we leave. But if we are going to extend and prolong the talk, sometime what happens? When is that happens, right? And we extend the talk and prolong the talk, sometimes we get into a discussion. Right? Now, I kept the talk right to the point of need. Right? Ended class. But now I extended the talk. Say, you're going for that walima. Alright, but you sure everything is right in that walima? So that person turns around, oh, everything is haram. Say, but no, you must check up. You can't just go anywhere. Now see what happens. You just started it off, and then he got worked up. When he got worked up, he said some things, you said some things. Then you see, people truly, you can't even advise them. You can't even say, just go, they go everywhere, anywhere. And you can't even talk to them. See. But you see where it starts from. This is when you prolong the talk. Just keep it to the point of need. Go in with respect, with cheer, and come out with cheer. How are you? Can I help? This, that. Whatever it was, 4 or 5 minutes, you met the person nicely, respectfully, and you left respectfully and nicely. So there's no problem. You're talking to him, and gradually you are luring him towards deen. You know, I read one incident in that kitab, you know. Well, it was an experience. The Jamaat went, and you know, that was an experience. What an experience they had, see. And I just want to share their experience. Now, lately now, generally give that experience, so that person, his himmat and his morale picks up. In London, over this Christmas period, right? So, one party, and the girl that attended the party, she became so drunkard, she just lost it. So they called a taxi, they pushed her inside, so they go and drop her at her place. Now the taxi person, he saw a girl is missing my car, vomiting and what, because she's in a different state. So he just took out of the car. Now remember, December there is in winter. So she is now in the street open there, and she is in that state. Right? So one Muslim Pakistani, he was with his wife, and they're passing, they saw her in that state. They pushed her into the car, they brought her into the car nicely, took her home, because she was messed up, whole urine and feces, everything was messed up. So the wife volunteered to clean up nicely, and put some good clothes for her. Took her clothing, put into the washing, right? And then she's thinking, alright, how to get her up now? So she read somewhere, she came across somewhere, that you give the person some coffee or something, and you make the process of becoming sober a little bit more quick, you see. Well, she came around, called the address, then they called for the father. So they called the address. So this is what happened. And you know, we can bring your clothes, bring your daughter's clothes tomorrow. This is clothes in the washing. We'll press it and send it to you. So when he heard the whole story, he says, you know who I am. Look at the Facebook and look who I am. I'm very notorious against Muslims and against Islam. I write against Muslims all the time, inciting, spurring up people. But today you bear witness that I'm very close to Islam. I want to study Islam. I'm very interested in this religion. Now I'm going to cancel all these things here. I'm going to write in favor of Islam. See? So now, you give some story that will interest the person, bring the person up. How will it bring the person? That was now in London. In Durban just now, it happened about 4 months. So one person from Belgium, I think some Bayat person, he got married to some girl from Overport, right? I think it's near Malinson or something. Very near. So he's got married, and just around the Nikah time, right? Or maybe a week after the Nikah, around the Nikah. So this girl, her neighbor is a Hindu. Her neighbor is a Hindu. But her mother, this girl's mother, is an Apa. So she's got some Dini awareness. So because of the Dini awareness, she saw that this Hindu woman is living all by herself. She's a widow. She's living all by herself. So she would see to her groceries and her well-being. And at night, now before, in the morning and the night, at least 2-3 times she would see to her. And anyway, and often she would say, you know, make maaf. This Muslim woman asked, this Apa will ask this one, yeah, make maaf. Okay, we can't fulfill your haq. So the Hindu woman would ask, but what do you mean by you can't fulfill your haq? He says, no, you see, as a Muslim, a neighbor has got a right over me. And because you got a right over me, and maybe I'm negligent, I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing. Right? In the meanwhile, this woman, right, was extremely wealthy, right? Extremely wealthy, she's living all herself. So her folks are saying, right, you better sell up, and you come and live with us, and we've got an apartment for you in Musgrave. So this house here, so now you can sell the thing. What is going for? It's like about 4.5 or 5 million that thing is going for. So she says, no, I'm going to sell it to this Apa next door. All right. The Apa says, I don't have the money for that. I'm going to get 4 or 5 million. All my saving account is about 150, 200. Just give me that. And those families of hers are telling, hey, this is a mad thing to do. You can get nicely, you can get near the masjids, you can get about 5 million, right? And you think you go for 200,000. No, I can't forget the kindness that this woman showed me. See, on account of the kindness and the love that she showed, nobody would have shown this. And yet she's saying that I couldn't fulfill her right. She's done so much, and yet she's saying this. So she was very touched, right? So they bought the house. They bought that house, and they got the wife, they got their daughter, and the son-in-law to come and live there. The front of the house was like a nice, like a warehouse, gave it for rent straight away, and the back was an outhouse, they got it rent already. Already, as they just moved in, and there were about 7,000-8,000 rents coming as rental. See? So now, you see, if you give a story, and some story with a morale, and the person's spirit comes up, not to break the spirit. Bashiru wala tunaffiru. So that type of meeting brings the morale up, it picks the person up and gives him ideas, alright, you know, if I'll be kind, Labak will be kind to me. Ahsin kama ahsanallahu ilayk. Yirhamu man fil ard, yirhamukum man fis sama. Okay, in this age also, how you can be kind? See, in this age, you know, one is the day of the beast of some, showing kindness was in a different way. But in this time also, you can show some kindness, and how you can show it. See? Whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a non-Muslim, but you can show kindness. And then, what Allah Pak does for you after that, see? Either for the Muslims, or either for the person himself, what Allah Pak does. So it reminds the person of Allah, see, Allah Pak is a doer. I just did the strokes, and then what Allah Pak turned out of it. You know, what I did, and what Allah Pak took out of it, it's a magnificent thing. Like, you know, I just put a small seed of zafran, I got it somewhere, and I put the thing. And that thing, before I knew it, then it became a zafran field. It's yielding literally millions, you know, zafran. But what I did, comparison to the gift of Allah Ta'ala, so his yaqeen Allah Ta'ala grows. That aspect of Muslim is a kind person, he's a generous person, he's a compassionate person, loving person. That feature, people begin to see it. That becomes a da'wah. That becomes an invitation. And number three is, people know how to apply themselves. Now we don't give the stories, you just trying to bang that person, hit that person down here, run him down, that lie on him. You know, you must buy this car here, don't buy that car there, what about this one here? Only about investments and money and whatever, whatever. So, what happens to that person? That person says, hey man, you know, everybody is minting it in the world. I'm the only person that is behind. I'm the only person that is behind. Everybody is prosperous, everybody is going ahead. I'll get left behind just now. I'd rather do something for myself. That's what is going in his mind. So, لِإِصْلَاحِ حَالٍ أَوْ لِتَلَبِئٍ. You would need to improve yourself or to acquire ilm, one of the two. To acquire ilm or to correct yourself, rectify. You know, hey, I messed it up, man. No, I went and I saw this person here. I saw that he's very careful of his eyes because he, whilst I was talking to him, he was facing that end. Then there was a woman that walked. So he turned himself, he came on the other direction, right? So he's facing me. This side here, there's nobody walking on this side because it's a wall here. That side, there was one girl that was walking, there can be a second girl that is walking. But now see this person here, how cautious he is, that he turned the other way around as to not cast a mistaken glance on another woman again. So now, لِإِصْلَاحِ حَالٍ. I made my islah, I corrected myself. So you meet people, but for this reasons. So if your mind is like this, you know, then you're going the right. Otherwise now, you're getting the kitab knowledge, but you're applying it to your convenience. See, we're applying that ilm, and applying that ilm to our convenience, not to the expediency of deen. One is to apply that ilm to the masliyat of deen, to see now what is the expediency of deen, let's apply it accordingly. And one is to my own expediency, for my own. So you're taking all that, but now for what? For my own expediency. Now you got a, for example, you are in charge of the halal department, right? Just imagine, speaking of halal department, you're in charge of it, sorry. So what's your work? Your work is to censor all halal restaurants, products, everything. You must go and check it up, right? So that was your whole portfolio. Go and censure, go and check up, go and investigate everything. So suddenly you came across one product from Malaysia. It's a gelatin-free, right? Gelatin-free faluda. What they call faluda? Grass they use, China grass. So it's gelatin free. Hey, this thing here will go like a hot cake here. Let me just get this thing here. That meanwhile, one person was buying the thing. Now you got the idea. You got that idea, now you are into a business. But you see, this is what happens. Your near change. Now that person that was selling the product, he said, hey, these people here are up to something here. I was doing this business here, he took the business away. But you see what goes. So you look for the dini maslihat, not your personal. Look for the dini expediency. This can happen if your mind is right. Otherwise, nobody can say it's haram what he did. But the traders that are trading now, will they have that respect for the halal board? Spingo, halal board, will they have that trust? They lose the respect now. Hey, it's stealing our business now. I was doing this business here. He's in the business and he took my business away. He put salt in my food, how they say, sand in my food, right? But he did, see. See, now, that word will go around then. See, now, how it happens. So, says that you meet people either for Islam or for ilm. Now, you're talking of that This can be one of four conditions that you can go through. One is ma'asiyat. I said that from ma'asiyat I just branched off. One is the ma'asiyat, ayna ma'asiyat, and one is like a sabab to the ma'asiyat. So the wise thing is not just the ma'asiyat, but the sabab that leads you to the ma'asiyat. Think about it on this thing here. It can lead me, it can lead others, or it can be at the third level where it will be a badnami for deen. It will be a it will be an embarrassment for deen. You walking in a shop, right, for example, right? As an alim walking. Right? Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi, it happened to him. So, he was perhaps in Johannesburg, and as he's coming to Durban, so some khadims told him, that the Durban climate is unpredictable. One day is hot, one day is cold. Right? One day you have to put the fan on, and one day you have to put the heat on. It's so unpredictable. So you rather take some warm clothing. So he didn't pay attention, I don't need it. It's so hot now, we don't need warm clothing. I came to Durban, it turned out that it was cold. He said, I need to get some warm clothing, some jersey or something to keep myself warm. So just then there was one person who was selling all this thing, clothing, jerseys and all that. He said, you come to my shop and you can buy it. You can take it from my side. So I went there in the morning whenever, because he had the program was scheduled to go on that route. So he went to the shop. So he selected a jersey. That person said, I come to your program every day and it'll be an honor for me if you just take it. So he said, no, you buy it, I'll buy it from you. What is the normal price? Or if you're giving, say, 5% discount to every customer, I'll pay it cash and I'll take it for the price. He's insisting, no, you take it. Anyway, person didn't feel too happy at the beginning. Eventually, he took the money and the thing ended. So Murana Suleiman Ganchi was there. Well, Suleiman Ganchi was whom? So he told her that, lucky that you paid for the thing and ended this thing. Because there was a similar experience a few days back, that some visitor, whether he was a buzurg or an imam of the haram or whatever, he was around. And he went to one of the shops. He wanted to buy something. Well, that person offered him, I got all these things in my shop, come and take something. So that imam sahab, he selected one skin, of a deer or of a leopard or whatever. He selected that, right? So that person, as the imam sahab left, he had to take a grasp of breath. Hey, usne meri dukaan ki jaan nikal di. He took the life of my shop. Because that thing is worth 35,000-50,000 worth. And this man, he just selected this thing. And I given him my word, so I had to honor that thing. See, Allah Pak saves him, see. See, you become a suburb of ma'asiyat. So you rather pay for the thing, live less. They like to see you in the shop. Let's say this mullah, he buys for cash, he doesn't take advantage, they like your presence. Otherwise they say, hey, this man is here now, let's hope now, we don't have problems. Sharma sharmi, you have to give something. Right? Just out of respect for you. But what happens to him? Say, hey, this person, this is what's going to happen. You see, one is a suburb of ma'asiyah, and number three is, as I said just now, is what is to the expediency of deen? What is to the advantage of deen? If it's to the advantage of the deen, it's alright. So alright, I'll have a cup of tea for you. He doesn't feel much about it. A cup of tea, some biscuit. So he doesn't feel much, that person doesn't feel much. No, Hazrat accepted my invitation, I ate this, so he feels nice. So to that extent, it's alright. But beyond that now, you're asking for this and that and the other thing and the fourth thing. And that person says, hey, this thing, if I'm going to get buzzed like this every day, I'd rather close the shop then. What do you think? See? So you're not getting those people. They're coming from the madrasa, just graduated and gone. And now they're working in a place, so hey, he's got this type of things in his house, that type of car, that type of furniture, that type of equipment. See what I got. I need to do something now. What I got, what they got. So now, it's li islahi halin or li islahi baitin. What is this? Is li islahi halin or islahi baitin or islahi batnin? What is it for? You see. So, at any situation that alim is speaking, it's not for the. What is to the advantage of deen here? What is to the advantage of deen? Look in that direction and do that. Either for my islah or the islah of deen, or it's not a sabab of ma'asiyat. Now it's not a sabab of ma'asiyat and it's not for my own maslihat. It is from some other broader maslihat that I'm doing this. The Shaykh is now using it more than that. Days ago. Is that his father's one uncle, one aunt, one khala, and one mom. One is Mullah Shamsul Hasan. So he would go there, pay them a visit, right? And that aunt's habit was she'll give 2 paisas to Hazrat Shaykh Ramadan, 2 paisas. Now Hazrat is married. Now he is his father's aunt, so you can imagine the age difference. So she will give 2 paisas. Now Hazrat is grown and he's got children. So as a family, to go and meet them. As he goes and meets them, now he can understand that the financial situation is not like what he used then. As he goes into the house, so what he'll do? He'll give her 10 rupees, right? For example, right? Give her 10 rupees. And then as he's meeting, he say, I want my 2 paisas. You, whatever you want, my children, it's between you and me, right? But my 2 paisas, you better give me. Now, 100 paisas make 1 rupee. You understood? 100 paisas make 1 rupee. And he's given 10 rupees. And she will have she will have a joke also. Your share, you must get it. Say, yeah, what is the, come on, leave my share. So you say this, you say, why say this? Say, sometimes you have to receive it to improve relationship. See now what he's doing. He's taking the thing, but to improve a relationship. That situation required that you do take it and improve the relationship. It's a small maneuver. It will seem like, hey, you're taking the small amount or you're asking for it. But if you look at it properly, is actually a loss, material loss. It's not a gain, right? But the whole exercise is improving the relationship between relatives. But because what happens to us is, when you go on one extreme, you go so far, that we don't realize that we are damaging things. No, me, I don't take anything from anybody. I'm a very independent person. I don't need these things here. So you have that attitude. Now you don't, when you have that attitude, you don't know that you're breaking up. Hey, the man is pulled up, man. He's a pulled up person. You can't even do anything for him. So how he feels. So now, where it is to the dini advantage of that person or for your person, you're not looking at your own expediency, your own maslihat, you're looking at the dini thing. It's a different thing altogether. But 3 things we've discussed: the path, and then musibat, and Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb.